Well, we've all seen it. Someone who was top of their game suddenly taking a tumble and a fall. Someone who was in the media spotlight suddenly exiting under a cloud of shame. Of course, being at the top is always a precarious place to be. And those who have attained it often tell us just how insecure they feel. Yet, when we see their name come into disrepute, the first question we find ourselves asking is, what went wrong? What went wrong? Was it some moral failing? A poor decision at a critical moment? Or simply, the hand of fate? What went wrong? We do like to fill out the detail in the making of a tragedy. We might think that something similar is playing out before our eyes in the events leading up to Good Friday. On the Sunday, Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, carried on a wave of great praise and applause. Never was he so popular. Yet by the Friday morning, never was Jesus so despised. Betrayal, arrest, cruel execution, all in quick succession. What went wrong? What went wrong? Some moral failing? No. A lack of discernment when it was needed most? No. Fate? Most certainly not. Nothing went wrong. Philippians 2, verse 7. He made himself nothing. Verse 8. He humbled himself. Even unto death. What we're not seeing in the events of Good Friday is the end game in some tragedy. What we are seeing is the climax of an altogether different narrative. You see, what would it be like to be at the top, the very top, to already have a name, the very highest of all possible names, to have this in such a way that there is no risk of ever losing it? A standing in which you are totally secure. What then? Jesus Christ has such a status. Equality with God the Father from everlasting. He is in very nature God. Now, to be godlike, surely that entails preserving your exalted status at all cost. After all, a God likes nothing more than to be in the spotlight, all the while growing fat on the adoration of its devotees. Never for a moment would it think of inconveniencing itself for others. Not this God. All that is true, so true of so many of those false gods, the idols of our own imagining, but not of this God. This God, verse 6, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. Whereas all other gods take and hoard for themselves, Jesus Christ freely gives for the benefit of others. Well, that may not sound very impressive. He who already has everything, anything he does give away is hardly going to leave him out of pocket. But the striking thing here is recognizing what it is that he gives away. He gives away his very self. Verse 7, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. In coming among us in this way, what did he hold back? Nothing. That's how secure he is. He can afford to give us his all. And here's the thing. Jesus didn't throne swap. He didn't give up a throne in heaven to take up a throne on earth from which he could keep a closer eye on us. No, Jesus came as the lowliest of men. Even as a slave, as one who would serve from under us. This day in our calendar has traditionally been called Maundy Thursday. It's the day on which Jesus sat down with his friends for one last and special meal. During that meal, Jesus did something that made those first disciples decidedly uncomfortable. We're told that he took off his clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin and then proceeded to do what only a hired slave would do. He began washing his disciples' feet. That wasn't becoming of one that they had come to call Lord. Or was it? That evening, those disciples were given a profound glimpse of who this Lord truly is. This is the God who gives us his very self. But still, how much is he willing to give? Where does he draw the line? This far I will go, and go no further. There is no line. Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus freely gave us his all without remainder. The motivation here is one of love. Love in its purest and most intense form. Seeing our very greatest need, Jesus goes the distance in meeting that need. It's his life for our own. His life for my life. His life for your life. There's no tragedy here, but there should be awe. Awe at such an act of complete self-giving. Verse 9. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. On the third day, Easter morning, Jesus was raised to new life and walks out of his tomb. 40 days later, Jesus is exalted on high and takes his seat at the Father's right hand. What's the message here? Is it humility and self-giving, but only for a season, before some return to being a God of an altogether different kind? Well, notice what verse 9 doesn't say. It doesn't say that he who humbled himself and became obedient to death was afterwards exalted. The emphasis in the verse is on the word him. It's therefore God exalted him, the very same one who became obedient to death on a cross. He is given the name above every name, Lord. And rightly so. Rightly so, because this Jesus who gave us his all shows us what it truly means to be Lord. It's the reason why in so many of those paintings which picture Jesus seated in heaven, we can still see his wounds. Come see his hands and his feet, scars that speak of sacrifice. That's the invitation standing open to us. It leaves us in no doubt of the kind of Lord this Jesus is. So what we have laid out before us in these verses isn't some pathway to true greatness. We're not being taught that humble self-giving is the means to another end. No, humble self-giving is an end in itself. It is godlike. What we have here in these verses is the heart and character of our God laid out in plain view. This Jesus, he obediently goes to the cross because that is who he is. one who so freely, so willingly gives us his all. That is true greatness. This is the exalted Lord. Verse 9, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, the thought of bowing the knee to any god, it might be repugnant to some here this afternoon, and for good reason. A glory-grabbing god doesn't tend to get many willing devotees. They bow the knee under compulsion or in response to a quick crack of the whip. Such a god isn't worthy of our adoration. But with Jesus Christ, how different it is. This is the God who goes so far as to die for us. So we're left in no doubt of his good and loving purposes towards us. If you've begun to grasp what was happening in Jesus' betrayal and arrest, if you've begun to grasp what was taking place in his cruel execution, and are beginning to see that he went through all this for you, you may just find your knees starting to wobble. You may find yourself bowing down. You may find that you can do no other. Not under any compulsion, but bowing down in awe at such a gift. One thing you don't need me to tell you is that the world looks very different on your knees. We get a different perspective on just about everything. In your office or about your daily work, is there now any task that's too menial, too far beneath your pay scale? Among your colleagues and family and friends, is there now anything you should be holding back and be unwilling to give? There'll be good reasons why you can't attend to certain tasks and why you don't give of yourself in certain directions. After all, we're limited. But the reluctance to give, to say that we won't give, that can no longer be a point of principle. That's because on your knees, you are seeing with the same eyes that God himself sees things. And although that is contrary to the way the world aspires to see things, you're now seeing things the right way up. Friends, this Easter, take a close look at this one who served us so fully, even giving himself over to death on a cross. If you've looked before, look again, and keep on looking until you recognize that this Jesus truly is the Lord of heaven and earth. Amen.